Morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning share online. Firstly, I'd like to thank everybody for making this possible. Harvey, who's always behind everything here, to thank Neil Berger and those involved with our question chat. Thank you very much. I will try to look for it and respond. In fact, I'm adding one more aspect so I could see it clearer. Also, this morning, I definitely have to thank Avram Eliezer Friedman, who does everything and anything for the share, including pick up the MAGA chair when his mode of transportation wasn't starting as efficiently as he would want. So thank you, Avram Eliezer, for picking me up. So here we are, another week. This week's topic is not directly talking about Corona. I've had enough. I want to take a break, at least for 1 week. There are a fascinating amount of shilas that come up with Corona. But this week is nothing to do with Corona, per se. The title of the shiur, Sfiras HaOmer and Making Early Shabbos, Halachas in Two Directions. And we'll see in a moment what exactly that means, Halachas in Two Directions. We'll see in a moment as well as at the end of the shiur. But this season, this time after Pesach, it's quite common all over America, Eretz Yisrael, it's a little less the norm, but in America, or maybe in some American parts of Israel, you'd find early minyanim, to find an early minyan that one could be mekabel Shabbos earlier. And I believe in Eretz Yisrael, perhaps to explain the reasons why, it's not so common to find these minyanim. Definitely in Me'er Sharim, Geula, many parts of Yerushalayim, they do not have early minyanim. That wasn't the minhag. That's not the way they did it. I remember when I was in Eretz Yisrael just a few years ago, you had to track down, in Sanhedrin Merchevet, an early minyan for Shabbos was not so easy. Ramon Eshkol, that you'd find more American, at least now, more American communities, you'd find it. But it wasn't an Israeli thing. But Baruch Hashem, here in America, we do that, and it does make it easier, especially families with kids. It definitely makes it easier when the kids could get to bed at a semi-normal time, especially coming off Yontif. And this way, you have more Menucha Shabbos. It's more enjoyable. In particular, I would add, due to the current Corona situation, I saw an interesting meme going around. It said that right now there are only 2 days of the week. There's Shabbos and there's non-Shabbos. For many people, the regular weekdays are just like a blur. Like, what differentiates Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? No one's going to work. Kids are home all the time. And it's just a burdensome blur every single day. The only day which is dramatically different is Shabbos. So after being cooped up with kids and going about one's schedule on a daily basis, people look forward, I think, all the more so to Shabbos. People are home all day. Sometimes early Shabbos is hard for people to make because they come home late and they're busy and they're working and they're doing things. Baruch Hashem, in our situation, we're home all day. And I think it's easier for people to make Shabbos. So, or the more so, there probably is, for the unofficial statistics out there, I would bet that there are more people making early Shabbos now than the average year. Definitely in America, who knows, in Eretz Yisrael, make your own minyan, do your own davening. You know, I assume the numbers are up in Eretz Yisrael too. So it definitely is more common for people to be making early Shabbos this time of year. And one big naftamina is Sfiras Omer. If one makes Shabbos early, which practically that means, let's talk, you know, the ideal in halacha, is one should daven mincha before plaga mincha, and then one could accept Shabbos afterwards. And thus, you're accepting Shabbos way before, potentially way before Shkia. So, seemingly it's too early for one to count Sfiras Omer. So one would have to wait till later, till it gets dark, whatever amount of time people wait. Sharfman has, I believe, a share on that, times to count Sfiras Omer. So the person's waiting to count Sfiras Omer later because he's Mekabel Shabbos early. Now, practically speaking, no, not starting the meal so many hours before, you know, starting before Shkia, but usually, unless you have a chick-chock meal, by the time the end of the meal comes, for sure, you should be able to count Sfira. Most situations, it's already significantly dark, and one can count Sfira Omer. However, this is a very, very important note, is there are many times that people forget. And perhaps in some ways, the most dangerous day to forget to count Sfiras Omer is Friday night into Shabbos. Because during the week, nowadays, people have a lot of reminders to count Sfira. Now, when we were davening with Minyanim, it made it much easier because you went to a Minyan. Men went to a Minyan for Ma'ariv, they counted. Unfortunately, women don't have that option. That is why it's more challenging for women. But during the week, people have reminders, something on their phone, something on their computer, and they remember the count Sfiras Omer. On Shabbos, no one's reminding you, at least not electronically. So if a person misses, that's dangerous. You could end up going a full day without counting, which would then render that the rest of Sfiras Omer, you would not be able to count with the bracha. So thus, it is very important, if someone's going to be Mekabel Shabbos early, that they should make sure to remind them to count Sfiras Omer. I'll give you my simple thing I do, is when I make early Shabbos, I usually have, like, you know, get in the mail in these wonderful institutions, send you a Sfiras Omer calendar. I put the calendar on my Shabbos table, right next to my seat. Thus, hopefully I will see it and remember that I have to count Sfiras Omer. Usually what I do is at the end of the meal, by benching, I bench, then another nafkamina, you say over Kriya Shema, and you count Sfiras Omer. Really the Kriya Shema issue alone is probably even more important. Sfiras Omer, Pasha Pshat, we say nowadays is really only in the Rabbanim. But Kriya Shema is a Deraisa. And again, when people daven early, then they really risk the importance of repeating Kriya Shema. Now the Kriya Shema issue potentially is an issue, you know, any time people daven Ma'ariv early, sometimes people do that during the week, it is important that the person should be accustomed to say Kriya Shema again. Perhaps you could even do it before you go to sleep, all three parashios, but a person should make sure when they end up davening Ma'ariv early to A, say Kriya Shema again, B, now that we're in the time period of Sfiras Omer, to make sure to count Sfiras Omer again. You know, one other important nafkamina is really the Suda of Shabbos ideally also has to be once it's dark. Now, L'maisa, then how are you going to keep early Shabbos? How are you going to do early Shabbos? The whole point is to have the Suda finished earlier. So, post can break down, a person should have a slice of challah once it's still dark, the again, usually people's meals don't end before it's light unless they have a very, very quick meal when you Mekabel Shabbos early. But so usually, so before you bench, have another piece of challah that will count for a Suda. You bench, you say Kriya Shema, and you count Suras Omer. That's the basic idea. I believe some of the people that have Minhagim, we spoke about in Eretz Yisrael, there are people that all year round don't make early Shabbos. If you remember, last year we gave a share about Rav Hinkin. One of the three things that Rav Hinkin was very, very stark on was that a Rav should never be Mekabel Shabbos early. Because if you're Mekabel Shabbos early, that means there's less time for you to answer those hectic, last minute, Friday afternoon halacha shailas that a Rav gets. And he felt, once you have the responsibility of being a Rav, you can't be Mekabel Shabbos early. It's not for you. You're a Baal Batim. People in your shul, people don't have the achrayas. They could do it. But a Rav who has a responsibility can't be Mekabel Shabbos early. But with it, there are others also that aren't Mekabel Shabbos early. And one of the reasons is it is tricky for, you know, there always will be people that will forget. So, of course, Menucha Shabbos, Onik Shabbos is important, but Chas Hashem, we don't want to miss out on the derisa of Kriya Shema, on Mitzvah Sefiras HaOmer. So these things, the person should definitely be cognizant and focused on to make sure if they make an early Shabbos, to count Sefiras HaOmer. Okay, that's the basics. What I want to talk about today is really something in the other direction. Till now, we've been touching upon when you're Mekabel Shabbos early, so it's Shabbos, but it's really too, it's, you could be Mekabel Shabbos and have the Yisurim of Shabbos early. You could bring in Shabbos early, but in terms of Sefiras HaOmer, that goes by night, it's not night yet. In terms of Kriya Shema, it goes by night, it's not night yet. So those mitzvahs you have to make sure to do later. What I would like to talk about now is a very interesting shaila. What happens if by you being Mekabel Shabbos, it hurts you that it's no longer Friday afternoon for you? What would be such a case? So Rav Moshe Feinstein deals with the shaila of a person who forgot to count Sefiras HaOmer Thursday night into Friday. So Thursday night, the guy was busy, he was up, he was watching some Zoom chasna Thursday night, last time he could get in, right before Rosh Chodesh. So he's at a Zoom chasna, he's mesmerized, he's right there by the wedding from his screen. We never had such entertainment on our screens before. So he's at this, and he forgot. He davened the quick Maariv and forgot to count Sefira. And Friday's a busy day, even when we have more time. And he forgot to count Sefira. The first time he remembered, Harvey, you'll like this one. The first time he remembered that he didn't count Sefira is when the Gabbai gets up at the end of the this is when we had Minyanim at the end of the Maariv by the early Minyan and says, don't forget to repeat Kriya Shema and count Sefira is over. And the guy says, I forgot to count yesterday. Oh no, what should I do? Now, if someone reminded him at this time of the day, any other day, okay, great, count Sefira right now. The halacha basically is, don't want to get into post-shkia ben ashmasha shailas, but basically, if a person remembers to count Sefira any time of the day up until shkia, so then he's good. He'll just count then without a bracha, and then he can continue that night counting the next night of Sfira with a bracha. But where you miss an entire day, that's when you lose your bracha. Everyone, no one wants to lose the Sfira game. Everyone wants to be able to say, you know, I still have my bracha going, going strong. So you hear the shayla? The shayla is, if somebody realizes after he was mekabel Shabbos that he didn't count Sfira on Thursday night into Friday, what can he do? Is there any means for him to count Sfira for halakhically yesterday? Today it's already Shabbos for him. But somehow, could he tap into, could he get Sfira counter for him? Now, Josh, I just thought of an idea that you would say. It's a very interesting halakha, by the way. The person who kabbal Shabbos early, so it's Shabbos for you. But it doesn't mean it's Shabbos for the rest of the world. It's Shabbos for the people in your shul who daven at the early minyan, your family, it's Shabbos. But all other Jews, as long as this is not the prevalent minyan in the city, for other Jews, it's still considered Friday afternoon. So technically speaking, if you ever need a Shabbos guy, you could have a Jewish guy too. Because Jews who are not yet mekabel Shabbos, they can still do malacha. Technically, they can do malacha for you. But that's really a shir unto itself. But Josh, no, you can't ask someone else to be motzi you with Sfiras Omer. That doesn't work. The Svartim Lachem Mimachrat Shabbos. You have to count for yourself. Hashtas, you can't be yotze with someone else counting. Maybe could you hear it and be yotze? No, but you have to, for you, it's not that day. So seemingly, granted that other person could count Sfiras Omer, because for him it's Friday, but for you it's Shabbos. So for you it's Shabbos, L'chara, no one else could be motzi you with counting Sfiras Omer. Nice try. No cigar. So that's a shayla, which your Moshe Feinstein was asked. What should one do if one was mekabel Shabbos early, but realized, really, there's a problem the other direction. He still wants it to be Friday. He didn't count Sfiras Omer Thursday night, Friday. What should he do? We're asking the shayla about Sfiras Omer, but really, there are multiple other scenarios. And really, this share, the guts of it, we're going to get into understanding the din of being mekabel Shabbos early. The idea of making an early Shabbos, what's that all about? We have these shaylas, a person is mekabel Shabbos early, and then realizes, oh no, I have to do something. I told this person I'm going to send them something before Shabbos. I have to do it. What should one do? If there are things, maybe Amir al-Akam, Amir al-Yisrael, fine. But let's say it's something you have to do yourself. Is there any way you could get out of it? So I would like to introduce a very interesting topic. I'll introduce it with a warning, as we'll see. Don't necessarily try this at home. But there's a very, very interesting idea of how to understand what early, the mekabel Shabbos early really is. I believe the earliest source for this is Levush. Levush is an early Achron, the Shulchan Aruch, Orech Chaim, Simen Reish Samach Gimel. He says, when you're mekabel Shabbos early, really what you're doing is you're making a neder. You're making a vow. Just like people learn Masechet Nedarim, just like a person can make a neder that I don't want to get any benefit from this thing. I want to do something, might be more Shavua, but a person can make a neder, real in anything. Obviously, we try, that's the whole concept of saying, B'li neder, we're trying to do, I'll do the Mishnayis for the Shloshim, B'li neder, right? A person doesn't, Chas HaShem, want to be nichshol in a neder, in a Shavua. In fact, my Talmidim was just tell me over, nice idea that he pulled out. You know, Rashi, beginning of this week's, past week's parsha, talks about Isha ki sazria, she brings a carbon. Why is a woman bringing a carbon after she gives birth? Because the Chazal say the average woman, after she has a child, she swears, I'm never going to do this again. It's so painful. It's not easy. So a neder or shvua is a chamer thing. And for that alone, person, you know, has to bring a carbon. So we always try not to say nadar, not to say shavuos. That's one of the most important things we do before we come into Yom Kippur, called nidre. You got to get rid of all the nadarim, all the shavuos. They're dangerous. A person really has to abide by their word. But the concept of a nadar is a person does something, takes upon himself to do things. He's bound by that. But at the same time, there's a concept. A husband could be mefer, could undo the nedarim of his wife. And so to a chacham, a rav, a bezdin, could also undo through the concept of charata. If a person doesn't want that neder, it could be undone. I'll give you a mashal. Let's say a person, happened to a talmid of mine this year, talmid of mine growing up, he was very, very makbid, his family, on only eating shmur matzah. That's what they did on Pesach. Obviously, it's a chumrah. But not only by the siddurim, but any product they would eat only had to be shmur matzah. For the record, there most products are probably not shmur matzah made. You want to have some bisli. Bisli is not made with shmur matzah. It's made by regular matzah meal. So any product on Pesach, he would need shmur matzah meal, because he's makbid on that. And he got married, he was going to his in-laws, and they live out of town, and very much stressing out over the whole corona crisis. And normally, he was planning on being makbid and only having shmur matzah for the entire Pesach. But shalom bias-wise, with the whole situation, it wasn't so simple. So told him he should convene a bezdin and be mescharet, be makabel this, but at least for this year, you want to back out of it. It's a very pressing situation, okay? So, thus, one is able to get out of it. They speak to a bezdin and get themselves out of it. I'm thinking about Pesach. Tell you another story, a famous story through Yaakov Kamenetsky. Reb Yaakov, I believe, was makbid in Gebrux, and after his first rebbetzin was in Teres, so when he got remarried, he's sitting there the first Pesach with his new rebbetzin, and next thing she knows, she comes out with matzah balls, with something that was clearly gebrux. And okay, he didn't, I guess, go through every issue with his new rebbetzin. She came from a home, a family that was not makbid in gebrux. When she went back into the kitchen, he quietly turned to three men around him, because his sons asked him if there'd be matzah neder for him. Because he was always makbid, but shalom bayis, this, he wanted to get out of it. So that's a concept in general of a person having a neder, but being able to get out of it by being mischarit, by getting a heter for his neder. So there are those that learn, the levush is first and foremost amongst them, that when someone is makabel Shabbos early, what they're really doing is making a neder. Now, this is definitely not the Pashup Shabbat. Pashup Shabbat, you're makabel Shabbos early, and you bring about the Kedusha, now it's Shabbos. Is that a neder? I don't know if that's a neder. You mekabel Shabbos early. There's a din in Tosefta Shabbos. So you're tapping into that din that allows somebody to mekabel Shabbos early. Doesn't mean it's a neder. But the Levush had this fascinating idea that being mekabel Shabbos early is a neder. That's what you're doing. You're accepting something upon yourself. You didn't have to. So that's like a neder. A neder is something which you are able to get out of. Had you known this would cause you this problem, you wouldn't have been mekabel Shabbos early. So Levush says, a person who's mekabel Shabbos early, technically speaking, if there's a pressing need, could get out of it. Again, don't yet try this at home. That's what Levush writes. Not only the Levush writes this, the Pesachei Tshuva in Siman Rish Samach Aleph also brings it down. And additionally, some sofers, there are others that quote this idea. Also, there's a Taz. This Taz is definitely very talked about. Taz is a very interesting case. The Taz talks about a case of where some community that first day of Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday, Baruch Hashem, the community had a shofar, Baal Tokeah, everything was great. Second day of Rosh Hashanah was on Friday. And I didn't see exactly what the reason was, but on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, there was no shofar. I don't know where this Baal Tokeah went, what happened to him, what happened to the shofar. His wife was in labor, went to the hospital, who knows. They didn't have a shofar the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Obviously the people feel bad. A shofar in Rosh Hashanah is such a big deal. And to have to go through Rosh Hashanah without the schus of blowing the tekiyos was obviously troubling for the people, but what can they do? We can only deal with the lot that we were given. So the community, the shul, they move on, and it was ended up being a three-day yontif because Friday led straight into Shabbos. So the people, it was a long day, Rosh Hashanah, they mekabel Shabbos early. After the community was mekabel Shabbos, while still light outside, in rushes into the shul, a guy with a shofar. They missed blowing shofar the whole second day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, somebody came in with the shofar, except they're mekabel Shabbos. What should they do? Zok de Taz, first say over the Pesach, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of the halacha. The Taz Paskin, they could blow shofar. Obviously, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. So the Taz seemingly allowed them to undo their Kabbalah Shabbos and blow shofar. Simply, this is another proof to this idea, started by the Levush, that Kabbalah Shabbos is something that one could get around, perhaps like a neder, and thus one could get out of it where there's a need. They needed to blow shofar, so they wanted to get out of it. And the Taz gave him that heter. Fascinating case. Now, I want to stop our shiloh over here. At this point, I'd like to tell another story. Okay, so far, if you're keeping the score, we've had I would say, two or three instances where we could debate the idea of sort of undoing Shabbos to fulfill something. We talked about Moshe was asked a shaila in terms of Sfiras Omer, where somebody forgot to count Sfira Thursday night into Friday. I mentioned the Piskei Tshuva talks about it, that Stam, a person had to do Malacha, had to do something himself, and was Mekabel Shabbos early, could he undo it? And now the Taz brings this case of undoing Kabbal Shabbos because the community missed blowing shofar. Those are the three scenarios. I'd like to share with you a fourth case, which I remember in my years in yeshiva, I heard this story multiple times, which happened right here in North Miami Beach, quite a few years ago. What was the story? The story was, this time of year, the story was that there was a bacher, I believe a Talmud of this yeshiva, who I think wasn't feeling great Friday morning and didn't make it to yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, before Shabbos, he was feeling better and went to shul. Nice Friday night, early minyan. And he's sitting there after Mekabel Shabbos, and all of a sudden he realizes, oh no, I didn't put on tefillin today. It's still light outside. It's still daytime. Still put on tefillin. It was Mekabel Shabbos. What should I do? So my father-in-law, my grandpa was there in shul. So we went over to him. I grew up, what should I do? Oh boy, tough shaila. So my father told me, just check with him some of the details on Friday afternoon. He's like, so that was smart. I told him, you know, it's tough shaila. You know, you're asking me, but really, you're in the shul here. You should go ask the Marad Ashi, you should go ask the Rav. I'll leave out which Rav, who it was. So the bacher went to ask the Rav. The Rav also didn't want to touch the shaila with a 10-foot pole. So he said back, no. I think you should go back to your Rosh Hashiva. I think he's the one who's getting the shaila. So my father said he was stuck. He said round one went to the Rav. He got out of it and he thrust it upon him. So my father Taka remembered this taz. You remember this situation? They didn't have a shofar in the shul, and they got one later. So they went and they blew shofar. So he told the kid. I'm not sure, but I think that you probably should put on tefillin, not a bracha, but put on tefillin now, and Bez Hashem, that should be good. But obviously, you don't get these types of shadows every day. That simple. My father-in-law told over this story to his father-in-law, Rabbi Neumann Zetzel, Shmuel Neumann. Rabbi Neumann, one of the greatest things you could give him was a geshmak shaila. Rabbi Neumann was the type of person, I myself was a beneficiary. He used to teach guys in the yeshiva that you should always have in your back pocket, like halacha shailas, that if you end up at a wedding and sitting there as a chash of a posek, go ask him a shaila. Rabbi Neumann used to keep a notebook of shailas that he had, and any time he would find an Adam Gadol, he was very close to Ramosha Zetzal, close to the whole Feinstein family, he would rattle off his shailas. You have an opportunity. Lahavdol. I feel a little bit, people have these feelings now with Corona. It happened to me multiple times. One time I walked out from my front door to my mailbox. Another time I walked like halfway down the block and people started running after me. Talmidim, like, you know, don't see anybody. They're like, Rebbe, can I ask you the shaila? One guy, I went to my mailbox and back. He had like prepared three Shilohs. He happened to be passing by. Oh, can I ask you this, this, and that? You know, people are searching for these things now. But you give Rabbi Neiman a Shiloh like this? I remember Rabbi Neiman sent me. I was going to a wedding, and I knew Rav Scheinberg was going to be there. Rabbi Neiman gave me a list of questions I could ask Rav Scheinberg. It's actually pretty good, you know. You come to ask Rav Scheinberg some good halacha questions, you know. I said it was from Rabbi Neiman. So Rabbi Neiman was empowered by this Shaila. He went and basically asked all the poskim in America. I'll leave out the names, but he went through quite a few poskim in America, dates back 15, 20 years ago, probably more. But my father was still in Miami. But yeah, whatever. Goes back a few years. So Rabbi Neiman asked the Shaila to multiple poskim in America, and most of them were not sure what the correct psak would be. And they weren't sure. Some didn't know. Some poskim, you should put on tefillin. Some said with a bracha, some said without a bracha, some said you shouldn't put on tefillin. It was very foggy. So my father-in-law heard about, you know, and Rabbi Neiman got back to him what he heard from the American poskim about such a shaila. So my father was still interested. Hey, you never know. This could happen again. So you always have to prepare for, you know, you find some obscure case in halacha. There's really an, you know, you say, come on, I have to know this. The answer is, yeah, you do. Because you'll never know when those halachic situations will come about. I'll tell you another story. Adam, you got me in the story mode today. It's also I'm trying to avoid some of these questions. Josh, Rachmiel, they asked me some tough questions there. But I'll tell you another story. Back in the day, telling stories of the old days in Miami, the yeshiva used to be on 71st and Indian Creek Drive. So there wasn't so much of a firm community around the yeshiva. And basically, the Rebbeim would stay in the yeshiva when they would come for Shabbos. So it was limited to the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash, maybe a few high school dorm Talmidim, and the Rebbeim. And that Kufin Yeshiva, this is going back many years ago, was a very small olam. And it turned out that they didn't have enough Yisraelim for the Aliyos and Shabbos. They had a minyan, but the minyan was top heavy. They had quite a few Kohanim and Levim. And they didn't know what to do at first. You don't have enough Yisraelim for the Aliyos. What should you do? So actually one of the Talmidim in the yeshiva then was a young Reb Shaya Bauman, Kalman Bauman's son. Was a Chashava Machanach, I believe, today in Milwaukee. So, my dear friend. So, Shai Bauman remembered the halacha they once did. The halacha is this weird case of where you don't have enough Yisraelim. We usually know the other cases. There are not enough Kohanim and Levim. But here, they didn't have enough Yisraelim. What to do? Such an obscure case. But the Mishnah Berurah talked about it. So, he went through. You could go, Kohen Levi Yisrael, Kohen Levi Yisrael. Go through few rounds like that. So thus, you know, Kohen and Levi would get extra aliyahs. This way, you go through the number of aliyahs you have to do on Shabbos. But you always have to learn obscure halachas. You never know when halacha is going to be relevant. And I must tell you, in fact, maybe I'll end with that story. So I'll come back to one story my wife told me over Shabbos. So, the American poskim didn't exactly know what to say. My father-in-law said, I'm going a step further. He sent this shayla to Rabbi Yosef. Asked Rabbi Yosef the shayla, what should one do? Somebody didn't put on tefillin all day, realized only after he heard Makabel Shabbos. So, what should he do? So, Rabbi Yosef poskimed, he should do the following. But we also said we could go like the Lavush, that be Mekabel Shabbos early is a din of a neder. You could be matur the neder, have three people do it. And fartik, you're good to go, put on your tefillin. And he said you can daven afterwards, look at Baal Shabbos, daven Ma'ariv again. Then it's not chushes or any bracha latolos. I think it's a problem. And that's it. You could go and be undo your Kabbalah Shabbos and put on tefillin. Rabbi Yosha was very comfortable in this situation, fully utilizing this lavush and this idea. My father said years later, he also, someone found one of these Shals HaTshuvas with Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked the same case with tefillin. Someone forgot to put on tefillin. What should one do? And Reb Chaim said the same thing that his father-in-law, Reb Yosha, said, that Kabbalah Shabbos is like a neder, and you can be mad neder, and then put on tefillin, and then daven again. So there definitely is precedent for this idea that even after someone was Mekabel Shabbos, they could undo it and then put on tefillin, seemingly count Sviras HaOmer, or whatever needs to be done. There is a possibility for one to do that with an early Kabbalah Shabbos. I must add two pratim. There is a Kaf HaChayim who talks about doing this too. This is for the Sfardim in attendance. And he also matters saying that Kabbalah Shabbos is an end, one could undo it. Though he is machalik if he just did a bit peh. A person said, you know, I'm a kabbal upon myself. Shabbos, classic idea of being Tosefa Shabbos. Then one could back out of it. But if he davened, wasn't just bit peh, but it was through tefillah, he held that's already Kedusha Shabbos, and that you can't back out of. Similarly, a step further, the father also qualified that this only works in a situation where there's one community, some individuals, who Mekabel Shabbos early. If the entire community is Mekabel Shabbos early, that's a different din. Then that wouldn't necessarily have a din of a neder. And one wouldn't be able to just get out of it by undoing a neder. A neder is on your personal or your shul's Kabbalah Shabbos, but if the whole community is Mekabel Shabbos early, that has a stronger din of Kabbalah Shabbos, that's Mechayev you, that would be different. Okay? I must add, though, there is another side to the story. Therefore, Halach L'maisa, it is not so poshut. That there are many Achronim who argue on this Lavush, and they say Kabbalah Shabbos does not have the din of a neder, and one cannot back out of Kabbalah Shabbos. Kabbalah Shabbos would be just tapping into the halacha that the kedusha of Shabbos one could accept upon themselves earlier. It doesn't mean that that's a neder. You're just tapping into those halachas, not necessarily through making a neder on yourself. And thus, you can't undo it. The Aruch HaShulchan, this is Simon Reish Samach Gimel, Sif Chav Ches. He says, look, the whole din of Tosefa Shabbos, adding time to Shabbos, being Mekabel Shabbos early, that's a din d'oraisa. That's a Torah din. So he says, it's not some added thing that you, a neder, is sort of, I'm creating my own iser. The Aruch HaShulchan looks at it, you're not creating your own iser, it's a Torah's din. It's Tosefa Shabbos. And he says, also the Aruch HaShulchan, at least from his perspective, in Nevardik, people didn't utilize this heter of the Lavush, people didn't accept it, and therefore the Aruch HaShulchan strongly paskins that one cannot rely on this idea that being mekabel Shabbos early is a neder and one can get out of it. No. And so too goes Rav Moshe Feinstein. That's what I'd like to read a little bit inside. Rav Moshe has his tshuva. This is in Igros Moshe, Aruch Chaim, Chelek Dalet, Simen Tzadikas. Rav Moshe writes, seems the Shaila was posed to him by many of the Shailas in Igros Moshe. If you actually go through the questions, they're for sure within the league leaders, but they might actually have the most questions posed to Rav Moshe in Igros Moshe come from the Greenblatt Mishpacha, the Rivel Sefraim, Ephraim Greenblatt Zatzal, as well as Yibad Al-Chaim, Rav Nata Greenblatt. So in this Shaila, I think it was asked by Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. He asked about the Sefiras HaOmer situation. So Rav Moshe writes, reading like the fifth line, Hine Nias Daiti, Imra Kibel Shabbos Bamiras Mizra Shir Niyam HaShabbos, Shaper Dima Dodech Yididi Haravagon Rav Nata Shlita, Lahad Pasuk HaTaz B'Tshuva. He says, oh, Taka, it's a good comparison to the Taz case. Where the tzibur didn't have a shofar and they got the shofar through a guy, but it was already after Kabbalah Shabbat, in the early Kabbalah Shabbos of the community, they told him that he could blow shofar. So Rav Moshe learns like this: the reason why in that case they could do it, he says, that was Kabbalah Shabbos was betos. They didn't want to be Mekabel Shabbos if they knew that they were going to get a shofar. And he says, Yesh Lomar. So he wants to caution back, though, to the case of Siris Omer. Dim Nizker Achash Kazar Spal Tfilos Arvish al Shabbos. But if they ready Davin Mayrev, Shem Nemesh in the Kabbalah, Harayim Sudah Over al Shabbat Brachas Latah, Moshe understands, it's different than Rabbi Yashav, but Moshe understands if you undo the Kabbalah Shabbos, Nidav and Mayrev, so then those brachos are brachos of Atalah. So Ich Nemar, Shibishvil Kia Mitzase Durabon, and it's Svir Bizman Azel Harbishitos. Svir's Omer nowadays, according to most Shitas, is only a Din Durabonin. Gam Shuraka Bisafik. Because anyway, some people say you really can't count Sefiras Omer during the day. So he says, in that case, how could it be you're not going to be makbid on brachos l'atala and undo your Shabbos? What about the Taz? So if Moshe writes, the Taz was different. He says, va'af b'shofar li'yachid, if it was a matter of a shofar just for a yachid, ki gavna nami mistaver the imbaz svar satas, that by shofar for a yachid, stumble, you wouldn't have the idea of the taz. Du tos machas shol yimakabel shabbos miyadei shiyavol al shofar. He says that was specifically by a shofar, that was for the whole community. So the way Rav Moshe wants to touch up the Taz in his first answer is the reason why the Taz mattered it is because that's something which had ramifications not just for one individual, but a whole community. But when it comes to an individual, one individual forgot Sefiras HaOmer, you can't undo it. One individual didn't put on tefillin. Similarly, Rav Moshe would say the same thing. Don't have a I wouldn't say from the base, at least in the first answer of the Taz, first Pshat and Taz, I wouldn't say that one has a right to just undo it. No? Okay, now I see this was an issue. One of the guys is asking a very good question. is on the one hand, Rav Moshe has a svara that when the community accepts, when the community needs a shofar, that's a reason why, more of a reason, the taz would be mata for everybody. But mi'ilach kisa, it's true. When the community accepts the whole Shabbos, and that was the case over here, the whole community accepted it. So then it's harder to get out. I think my father was even telling me that's why the taz himself doesn't spell out nether. Maybe he can't use nether over there because you can't get out of it if the whole community accepted it. So Rav Moshe is saying, I'm not saying it's so pashut. I definitely see there's room to be mefalfel. Rav Moshe then brings, the taz really says a second reason, a second answer. He brings, reading the next paragraph, Ach latam hasheni shalatatz duvim in Beis Yosef yeridea b'shem asmag. He says b'mila dein tali b'tefila klal. It's not kaminas in terms of the bris mila that is not based on Kabbalah Shabbos and other mitzvahs, velos, other things. He actually talks about nida there, so. Rav Moshe comes up with what you call a classic, a yeshiva shel agave, two dinim. And this is what Rav Moshe ends up pasking halacha l'maisa. Listen to what Rav Moshe says. And this would also be the halachas of Sfiras Omer and making early Shabbos in two directions. Rav Moshe says, when you're mekabel Shabbos early, what did you do? Let's put aside the nether issue. No. Torah has a clause. You could tap in to the Yisurim of the Torah. You could tap into Shabbos early. The Kedusha of Shabbos, the Yisurim of Shabbos, you could tap into early. And thus, when you're Mekabel Shabbos early, you can't be Mekabel Shabbos. You have all the Yisurim of Shabbos. However, when you're Mekabel Shabbos early, it doesn't change the picture outside. It's still light outside. It's still daytime. There are multiple halachas which are tully on the daytime hours, not on the date on your halacha calendar. Rav Moshe says, when it comes to Sfiras Omer, you're allowed to count up until Shkiah. It is the 16th day of the Omer up until Shkia. Ah, you Mekabel Shabbos early. The Nafkamina to be Mekabel Shabbos early is in terms of an Isser Malacha, even the Kedusha of Shabbos, whatever you want to say. But it doesn't change. It's not night. It's still daytime. And that alone, Rav Moshe says, is a reason that one could recite Sfiras HaOmer for yesterday, even though right now it's Shabbos for him. Because when you make early Shabbos, you don't change the date. Now, Rav Moshe is saying this as a svar for Sfiras HaOmer. This would not necessarily work by the tefillin case, because one of the issues, at least out in Muksa, right, once Shabbos comes, all these Surim of Shabbos come, not so posh for you necessarily to put on tefillin. Don't know. But Rav Moshe was talking about the Sfiras HaOmer case. So Rav Moshe says, and he even wants to say this is pshat in the second answer of the Taz, and he wants to say we pass on the second answer of the Taz, that Rav Moshe says that one could count Sfiras HaOmer even after his Mekabel Shabbos. He doesn't have to undo his Kabbalah Shabbos. But rather, the two are not in contradiction. It could fully be Shabbos for you, but it doesn't mean it's nighttime and it disqualified the count sphere for yesterday. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush, which he ends up paskin over here. So to review, I want to end with an amazing story. So we came across these seemingly obscure halachic questions, which, besides the fact they make for good entertaining share, that gets to the guts of what Kabbalah Shabbos is. Shaila of a person in the Kabbalah Shabbos early and forgot to count Sfira, something very pressing that he had to do after he was Mekabel Shabbos. The shofar case, almost tefillin case. All these seemingly obscure questions get to the root. What does it mean to make Shabbos early? So the Levush and others say that being Mekabel Shabbos early is the din of a nether, and therefore one could potentially get out of it when there's a big tzarach. It could be mat or nether. Others challenge that, and they say it doesn't have a din of a nether, and how do you have a right to undo, potentially make issues with brachos v'latala, and they're against it. And Rav Moshe's answer is, well, at least when it comes to Sfiras Omer, that's an astira to your Shabbos. You could be observing Shabbos, but yet, at the same time, you could count Sfira for yesterday. I think a good Musar Haskel, a good practical life story, which shows of how one has to be prepared for all the weird scenarios. My wife recently read, fortunately this is not in the mainstream media, perhaps they're protecting people with this, but a former president, George W. Bush, seems was an avid reader. And in his time in the White House, a way to unplug, he would, especially during vacations, Camp David, where you go, Kennebunkport, he would sit and read lots of books. During his presidency, early on in his presidency, one of the books he read was a historical account of the 1918 Spanish flu that devastated America. And here George W. Bush is reading this book, and it's hitting him. He's like, what would be if a pandemic like this hits America? Are we prepared? And after reading this book, this is documented, people in his administration have talked about this. There are a few news stories about it, but you'll see in a minute why it hasn't really made the mainstream. After reading this book, even though there was no grassroots movement, anyone pushing to do such things, he felt achrayus, the responsibility as a leader, that, okay, I have to do something about it. And he had started having a task force and assigned people to get literally ventilators, masks, gloves. If you're going to have to stop the spread of disease, you can't wait. He compared it to a forest fire. He gave public speeches about this. You can't wait for the last minute, because once it starts, it's too late. You have to have stockpiled and a plan of action and have set up to work on vaccines right away to stem the tide of a pandemic. And he put a lot of these things in place. Some of them were knocked out of the budget by the president who came after him. Didn't see such a need. But that was something. I think it's tremendous. You know, obviously, it hits us today with the whole situation we're in. But it shows how even something obscure, come on, a pandemic. When was the last time a pandemic happened? 1918, 102 years ago. But obscure points you have to be prepared for. That's, I think, a Musar Haskel for all of us in halacha. Even obscure cases in halacha, we have to know, not just because that they give us great insight to the halachas, Torah's understanding of different dinim, but also you never know, you might be sitting in shul one day, going to your mailbox, or whatever, and someone has an issue. Okay, what do we do? Thank you everybody for listening. Wish you a wonderful, safe, and healthy week, and thank you for joining us. Kol tov.